Well, I desire your prayers. I'd like to look at a couple verses in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. The 37th verse says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Now think about this scene. Jesus looks over Jerusalem and he weeps. We had in Sunday school this morning about the question was asked about why did God so love the world that he sent his only begotten son. Well, Jesus looked over Jerusalem and he wept over them. He never desired that his people would go the way they did. He had in his heart good things for them, I believe. I believe God looks at the world the same way today. I think that the Lord looks down upon all of humanity. If you could say it this way, I think he weeps over them. I think he weeps when he looks down and sees a child abused. I think he weeps when he looks down and sees young people make decisions that God knows. He knows. See, the Lord knows the end of things. And I think he has a tear in his eyes when he sees young people make the decision to start smoking marijuana. He knows where that leads to. I think the Lord looks down and weeps up on people. I think God looks down at us sometimes and pleads. I think he pleads sometimes through his Spirit. Don't do that. I think he makes establishes a way and says, follow this way. It's good for you. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I had such good things in mind for you. I had devoted myself to spread my wings over you and protect you from the dangers, the harms of life, to keep the enemy off of you, to keep the devil away from you, to keep the devil from destroying your home, your family, keep from driving you crazy. I had desired to put my wings over you and keep you emotionally sound, secure, steady. I had all those desires for you, Jerusalem. And I was going to do it. But you just wouldn't let me do it. You fought me the whole way, and I desired it, but you wouldn't do it. And then he says something, and Lord, help us today. I pray that the Lord would help us to get this challenge. Because he says then, because you wouldn't allow me to keep you. He says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Now I think the Lord was talking about, most think he was talking about the temple. It wasn't supposed to be their house. It was supposed to be God's house. God was going to live there. It was in the days of Solomon, it was the glory of the earth. It was magnificent. Well, they had a temple there, and it was supposed to be God dwelling in it. But wasn't theirs? It wasn't God's anymore. He didn't say that my house is left desolate. He said your house is left into you desolate now. I've moved out. God left that scene. God wasn't claiming he was there anymore. He left out of it. And I want to explain something about the temple. The temple was to be magnificent. Oh, this is God, folks. This is God. God's magnificent. This temple was to be magnificent. They built this temple for beauty. Outstanding. They built it with gold. I don't know how to explain it together. It didn't in my mind exactly the way it was. But once you get a picture of what the temple was, this wasn't something just thrown together. This wasn't just a shack. This was the temple of God, and it had gold, and it had beautiful artwork, and it had its things and its places and its representations and all that, and it had its tapestries and its colors, and it was beautiful. But Jesus says it's left to you desolate now. This was a prediction of the Lord, and this is what came to pass. In 70 AD, the Roman army under Titus, a general named Titus, besieged the city of Jerusalem. It was a horrible time in Jerusalem. The history is terrible. They ended up eating their own children. They ended up turning to cannibals. It was awful. They was under there. They couldn't get in or out. They starved to death. It was a terrible, terrible time. At the end of it, the temple was completely destroyed. And they took the gold from the temple and they built the Roman Colosseum with them. Now that to me is, it just says something. They took the wealth of the temple and helped fund this great big Colosseum that Rome built under Vespasian, the emperor, who Titus was his, I think, an adopted son of his. And they took 12,000 Jewish slaves from Jerusalem and they built the Colosseum with the gold of the temple and the valuables of the temple, and they took the slaves and built it. And you see the picture? This was beautiful, golden. And it's left into you desolate. You left God out. You left God out of it. And it crumbled and it fell. And not only that, but they took, you know, everything that those people believed in and wanted and hoped for, and the very thing that they thought was valuable, was taken and used to the things that they would have most disgusted at in all the world. They took the very valuable of the Jewish nation and all that they stood for, and took the wealth of that and built the Colosseum, which was pagan. It was horrible. It was everything that they believed to get. They did that, and you know, it was one of the most vicious, one of the most cruel. They brought in, for entertainment's sake, they put man against man. And they would fight down the duel, and then they'd fight. And then when they'd get the one down, and then they'd look at the crowd, and the crowd would either go, let him live or kill him. And if they did this, then he would kill him right there. And it was a sport for years and years and years in Rome. It was a spectacle of all this, and they would take Christians sometimes, or other people, whoever they wanted to put out there that was condemned, they'd put them out there, and they'd allow the lions to come in on them. And they would sit there and watch the sport of a lion ripping and eating a person up. They'd have gladiators and battles right before them where people would die and the ground would be soaked with blood. They would burn somebody to death right there for entertainment's sake. You see the picture? You see the picture? The very things that they held valuable, they couldn't hold valuable, and it went to the very things that they didn't believe in. You know, that's because Jesus said, your house is left unto you desolate. You know what desolate means? It means dry. It means a desert. And it's a perfect type today, folks, of do you know that will happen in your individual life? That will happen in my individual life? There's only one thing that makes the difference in all this. It wasn't that the Romans necessarily, they were the greatest nation on the earth at the time, but that's not what done it. God's not limited by the powers of a nation. They rejected God. They rejected Christ in their midst. And do you know the only thing left from rejecting God is desolation? We can look and say the United States of America, we're powerful, we're mighty. We got nuclear bombs. We've got capability. We've got air forces, and we've got technologies, and we got all of these things. That's not what keeps us safe. You know, our land's being left to us desolate. The only thing that can happen at the end of the story, when Jesus is left out of it, the only thing that can happen is desolation. That's the only thing that can happen in the Jewish nation. That's the only thing that can happen in the United States of America today. No army could take care, could have took over Jerusalem while they was being faithful to God. Nobody could overthrow them. But when they rejected God, I want you to notice something. It wasn't instantaneous happening. It won't be instantaneous in your life either. I want to challenge you today by this thought. Make sure that you got Christ in your life. Make sure that you're not rejecting the Lord. Make sure that you're not turning away from His principles, His ideas, His ways. Don't be slipshod, haphazard, or indifferent about the things of God, because the only thing that can happen to a people or an individual person without Jesus in their life is desolation. It's the only thing that can happen. It's the only thing that's the result of it. And I think sometimes of how the Lord looks down and says, don't do that. Don't go that way. Don't give up on that idea. Don't give up on that standard. Don't give up on your conviction. Because if you do, there's nothing else I'm left to do. It is by default. Desolation is by default. It isn't that God just necessarily sends it. No. It's that when we reject Christ out of our life, desolation starts growing. It was, like I say, 70 AD, from whatever point Jesus had spoken those words. But He said to them, your house is left unto you desolate. No prosperity. Nothing green. Nothing alive. Nothing abounding. No fruit on the trees. Desolation. That means, if you can get this picture, it means wasteland. It means desert. We had the privilege to drive out to Oregon this year. I was amazed at how much desolation there is between here and Oregon. Now, it's nice and green here. And it's nice and green in Oregon. Or at least Western Oregon. But there's a vast expanse of the country across there that if they wasn't irrigating the fields out there, there wasn't nothing green within sight. I come across one place and I looked out on this old rugged barren hill. It was all that it was around was rock formations and ravines and gullies and all this, and it was brown. Everything's just brown. What vegetation there was just brown. And as I went through there, I thought, what would a person do? Oh, you throw me out in the middle of West Virginia this time of the year? I could eat a lot of stuff out there. It's just green stuff's growing out there. I have lamb's quarter growing around the house, greens, weeds. There's things that I can eat. Say, hey, I can eat that, I can eat this. Well, there's mushrooms growing up to the front. There's raspberries, there's blackberries, we have blueberries, there's stuff growing, it's alive. You know, there's nothing out there. It's just vast emptiness. Desolation. You know, that's the picture that the Lord was giving to these people by saying, you've rejected me. And now by default, the only thing that is left for you is desolation. You know, you may prosper in this world and be desolate. There's been many, many people that prospered that got so desolate in their soul. There was a man back when I was growing up, his boy's name was Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes at that time was the wealthiest man in the world, I believe. He was quite a guy. He had prospered. He had money and all these things. Do you know that man got so desolate in his soul? He got till he was fanatic about germs. They said at the end of his life that he locked himself into a room and he had an obsession about washing his hands to get the germs off. He was so obsessed by it. You know what happened to him? If I may have this liberty to say, he became desolate in his soul. I think he became obsessed with the idea of death. You know, a rich man, the richest man in the world, can buy anything he wants. He don't live like me and you do. He can go anywhere he wants to go. He can buy anything he wants to buy. If he wants a new house, he can buy a new house. If he wants another car, which I can't ever figure, you can only drive one at a time. But if you want to jump in one, disposable cars. Just drive one and then get rid of it, drive another, and you can do whatever you want to. But you know what you can't do? You can't buy prosperity down inside you. You can't buy contentment. You can't buy peace. You can't buy eternal life. You can't keep yourself from dying. And he become desolate down inside him. The prediction of the Lord is that your house is left unto you desolate. What was once my house, flourishing, growing, alive, has become desolate now. Things usually die slowly. It gets less and less and less. They went on worshiping in the temple after Jesus said this. Maybe some of them still felt good about it. They could still walk in and look and say, this is beautiful. God, eternal God, has dwelt here. This is fantastic. You know, the only thing that keeps us from just being people among people, a church among churches, a people among people. You know, there's nothing special about us. There's nothing special about our movement. The only thing that's special is God. There's been movements through the ages that had the blessings of God upon them. They sprung up and God blessed them and the blessings of the Lord was on them. Salvation was on them. Peace was on them. Deliverance was upon them. The things of God was upon them. And you know what happened? As they began to reject the things of God, they become desolate. They become a movement among movements. They become desolate because the Lord wasn't with them. By default, when the Lord is removed from anything, it becomes desolate. Why is the country so adamant about getting rid of the Ten Commandments off of the buildings? You wouldn't think they'd hardly care, but no, there's a move that way. Why was it so important that, separation of church and state? Why was it so important that nobody pray? There's actually been lawsuits, folks. There actually been court decisions and stuff about a graduation to where somebody could pray or not. You know, at the end of all that is going to be desolation. And I don't know what to say that we can do about it, but that ain't really my burden. My burden is that we understand that if I don't wholeheartedly pursue the Lord in my life, if I don't give myself to maintaining the convictions that the Lord brought to my heart, if I don't maintain them, if I begin to reject them and move away from the things that the Lord has done for me, there is only one prediction that can possibly be, and that is that your house, is going to be left unto you desolate. It's just the absence of the Lord, folks. The absence of the Lord in our hearts will make a wasteland. It'll make a desolation. It won't happen just because you didn't do something or you did do something. It won't happen by tomorrow morning. Or it won't even happen by next week or maybe even next month. But in the process of time, it will become totally desolate. And it'll get to the point that many, many people that have went that road have come to a place and said, I don't know how I got where I'm at. And I look at those and think, those are of the fortunate few. Because the truth about it is most that goes down that line never comes to the understanding that I left anywhere or that I had anything. They just become desolate. Never understanding and seeing. Did the Jewish nation at 70 AD say, we made a mistake. We made a mistake. We rejected the Son of God and look what happened to us. No. Not that I ever heard or never read. But your house is left unto you desolate. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Why was they sent? Over and over and over, the Lord, in His love and mercy towards us, He sends. You know, we had a camp meeting in June, didn't we? Anybody remember it? Was it good? Or was it a bad? Did we have a mediocre meeting, bad meeting, good meeting? Do we remember the meeting? Was my soul blessed? Did that message touch me? You don't know how often. How often the Lord sends the reminders. Sends the life, sends the blessing, tries to stir the life. How often does He speak to our hearts? Trying to stir our passions, stir our hearts. Well, I remember while I was here, I left Wednesday, but while I was here, I thought it was a good meeting. I felt like it was a good meeting. I felt like the Lord blessed us. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and would not. I feel like we get so wrapped up, and Lord help us, I know it's a part of life, I do it too, but feel like we get so wrapped up at times of making sure that we've got the things around us that we want around us, the needs of life. Got my clothes, got my food, got my rhema, got my shelter, got the things that the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. It seems so often to take care of all this, not realizing that the Lord has already promised. I want to make sure that I'm secure. You know what our nation would be better off doing by a long shot? Seeking God. I think God is able to keep a nation. Israel was never secure because it had leagues with Egypt. It was never secure because it had leagues with the Assyrians. It never was secure because it trusted in the horses and the chariots and the mighty weapons of war. It was never secure when it did that. You know what gave it security? When it was faithful to God. Because He put His wings over them. He said in Solomon's day, you do this and I'll keep peace in the land. And he did. David warred. And Solomon was a man of peace. And because they was faithful and Solomon had been faithful, then God had brought peace to their land. And God's able to do that in our generations too. But more importantly than anything that we can look at nationally or collectively even, you know, it's so true individually. God's got His ways, folks, and He's got a way of showing miracles and doing miracles. And He's the amazing thing of God's miracles is He can do a miracle and make it look like it wasn't one. And to the gainsaying world and the world around, they'll look and say, there was no miracle. But to those that believe and see, they saw the miracle. God can make a miracle, a great miracle, look like no miracle at all. And God continues and to work and to help with these people that'll trust in Him and look to Him. And He works. And He keeps us. Our meal barrels don't run dry. The crews, well, they'll stay there. There's always something there. There's always God. And so often we put so much emphasis and effort on our life doing those things instead of putting the energy and effort in to making sure that I'm secure in the Lord and that my house is not left to me desolate. I fight hard to make everybody like me. I fight hard to make sure that I'm a certain way. I fight hard to keep everything in order. I fight hard to make sure this is going. I fight hard to do that. I need to make sure that my house is not desolate. I need to make sure that I'm in favor of God. That the Lord hasn't said, your house is left unto you desolate. I've tried. I've spoke. I've sent messages. I've sent an arsenal of history, an arsenal of songs and truth and songs for your good. I send my word. I send the blessing. Did you hear me last night when you laid your head down? Did you hear me? Oh, I was speaking. Did you hear me? Oh, trying to encourage you, trying to help you. It says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that to kill the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. And these are terrible words. And you would not. All that I wanted to do and accomplish, you didn't want it. You wanted your own way. You know, that's the real struggle, is the conflict between God's way and my way. But, you know, honestly, my way is going to be desolate. I'm going to be desolate if I don't take God's way. I can look and say, you know what? I have such a value for my family. And I do. I have a great value for my family. I would never want harm to my family. I'd never want to split up to my family. I would never want to be... But you know, just because I can say I want that don't mean that I can hold it. You know, my way will destroy that by default. But just selfishness will just automatically do that. If I start thinking selfishly, going my own way, and my wife does her own thing, and they do their own thing, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be desolate. And we probably won't care. Now, I know that this is... Well, it's the truth. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't maintain the things that we think that we can. Jerusalem may have thought they could do it. And the Lord did everything He could to bring them in, and they wouldn't do it. And then he said to him, your house is left unto you desolate. Your life is left unto you desolate. Your homes is left unto you desolate. Your religious system is desolate. Your life's desolate. Your hope, there's no peace, no hope. It's like the thing that you had valuable on. This temple, you look at the temple, and no doubt they looked at the temple and they said, this will stand forever. God's in it. How can anybody tear it down? Jesus said, I'm gone. I've left it. I think that within God's creation of man, there is always the will to consider. And I think even when people are in sin, there's a certain amount of that still plays an effect that the devil can't just come in and override them. Because if he could, he would. There's a mercy of God on them. Because if the devil could, he would. And he don't. But you know, the closer you get, the more away from God you get, the more desolate you get, and the more effect that the devil has on your life, and the more he can get you to do, the more you yield to the wrong, the more you yield into his favor, the more influence he has, the further you go. The saying is, there'll be hell to pay. You ever hear that saying? That's not just slang. You're paying hell. It becomes real to your life. These folks paid that penalty. There was something to pay for rejecting the Lord. Their house was desolate. Their protection was desolate. The Romans took them and there was nothing they could do about it. Their people built something that they wished they never would have never been built. Their hands. Listen, their hands built it. Built the Colosseum. The symbol of paganism. The symbol of torture and viciousness. Their hands built it. Their gold built it. Where's the... That temple that was destroyed was destroyed. Do you know the Colosseum still stands? Or at least parts of it still stands. I've seen pictures of it. It still stands. Lord help us. I hope it's a challenge to our lives today. Don't allow your life to become desolate. Don't allow it to be dry. Don't allow it to end up being a desert place. You know the only thing a desert needs? There's only one thing that the desert needs. A desert can be a beautiful place. When it rains in a desert, it becomes beautiful. The wildflowers and the things that grows. What keeps a desert? Well, you can say there's beauty in all places, but the thing that makes a desert is that there's no water. You take water out of this place. What do you think this would look like if it quit raining? Quit raining. I imagine if it don't rain, that it'd be green tomorrow, wouldn't it? I imagine if it don't rain, probably Tuesday will be green. There'll be a lot of green next Tuesday. If it don't rain any by October, there's not going to be much green around here. And if it don't rain any by the next October, there's not going to be anything green. And you give it 5 years, we'd call this a desert. No, there'd be some trees and stuff sticking around up around them. But this would start to be looking like, by default, this would start being a desert. And if it didn't rain in a generation here, you wouldn't even recognize what this would be, what it is now. You know, it's the same way, spiritually speaking. Desolation comes from shelving the Lord. Putting the Lord on the back burner. None of the Lord in your life is going to dry up. Lord help us. We've been given something here. I think it's valuable. We've been given a way of life. The truth. We've been given a heritage here of people that I feel like fought the battle. I felt like that they won the victories. And now it's our turn. And the old world is trying to make us desolate. And the way it does it is simply take the Lord out of our lives. Incrementally taking the Lord out will be desolation. I desire that the Lord would help me. I feel the struggle of the long term. You know what I'm saying? I feel the battle of the length of this thing. He that endures to the end shall be saved. And I feel the battle of many years now. It's not the same as it used to be. I feel the battle of the long time. I need the Lord to help me be able to battle on. Keep battling on. Keep going on. Because it could be the Lord could come and get any of us any moment. It could be another year will stack on another year and another year, and it might be possibly that this will turn into many years yet. And we need the Lord to help us. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.